How good to be here together. I'm really happy to be here. Are you happy to be here this morning? Amen. Yeah, amen. Good to be here together. What have you done this morning? You put yourself in the path of the gospel, and you are going to be rewarded with this sermon titled A Mutual of Omaha Sunday. Now, if you are old enough, and most of you are, you may remember the insurance company that sponsored a TV show called Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. There you see Marlon Perkins with that chimpanzee. Most of you remember that. Today we're going to be talking about insurance, and we're going to be talking about critters. Our assigned reading for today, though, is found in the book of Job. Job was described in the Bible as a man who was blameless and upright, a man who feared God and turned away from evil. In fact, God said of Job that there was no one like him on earth. Good, upright, faithful, a man who kept his vows to his family, kept his vows to his God, and lived a life of integrity. We will come back to Job, but for now, I'd like to return to the critters that are around today. You see, on this day, the Christian church across the world remembers the ministry of St. Francis of Assisi, who died on October the 3rd, nearly 800 years ago. He started the Franciscan order. He was a follower of Jesus Christ whose life was marked by simple living, by humility, and a love for God's creation. Kind of a forerunner to Dr. Doolittle, he loved all the critters. Which leads me to this joke. I tell you it's a joke, so you know it'll be okay to laugh at the end. There were a couple of Minnesotans by the name of Sven and Ole. They went into their favorite bar to have some lunch, and as they were about to be served, in walked a most peculiar animal. They had never seen anything like it in Minnesota before. It was black and white, it walked on two legs, it sat down on a stool at the bar, and it ordered food. The food came, and it ate every bite. Then without warning, he stood up, took out a gun, and began shooting bullets into the air. And with that, he walked out the door. Sven said, "That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. What kind of animal was that?" Ole pulled out his smartphone, and then he proudly told Sven, "That was a giant panda." And he said, "How do you know that, Ole?" And he said, "It says right here, a giant panda eats, shoots, and leaves." Okay. And I will explain it to the Norwegians in the coffee hour after the service. Having warmed you up, I'd like to share a few photos with you. Photos that will help you to take in the majesty and the grandeur of God's creation. The first, coming off that joke, is the giant panda. What a beautiful animal, huh? And then a tiger. Look at that tiger. A whooping crane next. We see those around Whidbey Island some. A blue whale, magnificent, huh? A sea otter with a little one. A snow leopard. A gorilla. The Tasmanian devil. And the orangutan. Amazing. Aren't they beautiful? What do they have in common? They were created by God, and they were entrusted to our care. What else do they have in common? They're all on the endangered species list. The clock is running for them. Their habitat is disappearing. Like thousands of species of animals and plants before them, it is likely that they will one day be extinct. Does God care about these marvelous creatures? And if the answer is yes, then why? Why doesn't God intervene to save them? Now, we should be clear, evolution and extinction have always been a part of the story of planet Earth. And for the most part, we as humans have had nothing to do with it. Animals and humans have evolved. Animals and humans have also experienced various forms of extinction. Let's face it, the world is a dangerous place. Earthquakes, hurricanes, forest fires, tsunamis, violent volcanic eruptions, they have always been a part of the evolution of planet Earth. And as long as there have been humans, there have been stories of destruction, death, disaster, contagion, war, famine, floods of biblical proportions, and perhaps someday extinction. Does God care about the humans? Humans who were created in the very image of God? And if the answer is yes, then why? Why doesn't God intervene to save the human race from disaster and calamity, to save the human race from itself? Where's God in all this? Where is God when danger looms? Where is God when the dear saints that we have loved and served with are stricken with cancer or dementia or Parkinson's? Where is God when the wheels of a drunk driver's car cross the center line and take the life of one of our dear members? Our daughter Kelsey lives in New York City. She started a new job this past week, and at the same time, she just started graduate school in New York City. Last Sunday morning at 2 a.m., when Kelsey was asleep in her apartment, when her two female roommates were safe in their beds, unknown to them, they were in grave danger. Suddenly, they were startled out of sleep and slumber by a terrible sound. A large man in his 20s was violently breaking through their front door with a crowbar. There was no attempt to hide the violence as he continued to slam the door with tremendous strength and fury. The women were now hiding behind doors, waiting and expecting the worst. As that final blow knocked down the door, the man entered their apartment, his face distorted by rage. It was not a movie. It was really happening. Just then, his mother ran in from behind and grabbed him, stopping the insanity, removing her mentally ill and violent son from an apartment that was broken and from the young women who were now severely traumatized. Thanks be to God, no one was hurt. Thanks be to God, yes? No. The truth is, God had nothing to do with it. God did not protect the women from the violence, and had the mother showed up just a few minutes later, it would have likely been a homicide scene, another grisly headline, the kind that greets us almost every night on the evening news. Kelsey and her friends had to move. They found another place to live. They moved to get away from a man who had terrorized them and lived just down the hall. They moved to protect themselves. You see, God does not or cannot protect us in this life. We've all seen it. We've seen the innocent suffer. We have witnessed the affliction of good people, children who are abused, women who are sexually harassed, people who are hated simply because of the color of their skin, the environment that is destroyed, and the good who die young. We've seen it. Does God care? Yes, God cares. God only desires good for us and for all of the created order. It is not and never will be the desire of God to see his creation suffer. God may be all-powerful and all-knowing. God may be in control ultimately, but let's be very clear. Much of what happens in this world is not the will of God. It's not the plan of God. The God who desires only abundant life for all of creation weeps for us and weeps with us as we experience the consequences of sin, random violence, or just bad luck. Does God care? Yes. Will God protect us from the dangers of this world? The answer is no. No, God will not or cannot protect us. Remember back to that story of Job. There was no better person on earth than Job. He was upright. He was faithful. He was blameless. And before it was over, at no fault of his own, Job had lost his health, his children, and all of his possessions. He lost everything. And now he was in constant pain. He was in misery. And his friends came to him and explained it all by saying that he must be a sinner, and that God was punishing him. Now, how is that helpful? It should be noted that there is sometimes a correlation between our suffering and the choices that we make in life. There is such a thing as cause and effect. If you smoke, you're more likely to get lung cancer. If you cheat on your wife, you're more likely to get a frying pan upside the head. If you break the law, you're more likely to go to jail. If you drive on roads after midnight, you're more likely to encounter a drunk driver. There is such a thing as cause and effect. We do have free will, and our free will comes with unavoidable consequences. But those consequences, those painful life lessons, are not the will of God, and they are not the punishment of God either. God is not punishing you for speeding. The police are. God is not punishing you for drinking too much on a Friday night. That headache on Saturday morning is just a natural consequence of overconsumption. But not all of life is cause and effect. We know that, don't we? There is more to this mysterious and beautiful world. Branches fall randomly off of trees and kill people. Those who have never smoked get lung cancer. The good die young. The upright and blameless suffer from one calamity after another. And it is this random, unexplained misfortune and suffering that causes a crisis of faith, which leads us to shake our fist towards heaven, saying, God, do you care? God, are you real? Are you even there? Are you listening to the prayers of the righteous? Be honest, in your own life, have you ever shaken your fists towards heaven? Have you ever wondered if God hears your cries? Some years ago, I had a grandmother from our parish come to my office. A woman of deep faith, nurtured over an entire lifetime of putting herself in the path of the gospel. She came to talk to me because her granddaughter had been horrifically abused. There is perhaps nothing more abhorrent in this world than the abuse of an innocent child. After talking and crying, she said, I always believed that God would protect us. And I said simply, but that was not the case. That God cannot or does not choose to protect the innocent from the free will choices of others. The story of Job, an ancient play, this conversation of faith and doubt, wrestling with a world that's very hard for us to understand. A world that we know is often arbitrary, random, unpredictable. A world that's dangerous and often seems to us to be unfair. And there is no insurance. No insurance in this world will protect you from the trials and tribulations of this world. No insurance. But Pastor, I come to church, then I'll be safe, right? Really? Look around. Look around and then look at the prayer list in your bulletin today. These people come to church and they have more organ problems than all of the cathedrals in Europe. There is no insurance. The church cannot protect you from cancer. Bible study will not keep you from having a stroke. Pastor Jim cannot protect you. And no matter how your life plays out, it will end with a slow ride in a hearse. There is no insurance. Go ahead, call Mutual of Omaha, call Allstate. Get in touch with that little gecko from Geico. Say your prayers to God, but no policy, no clean living, no faith will protect you from the perils of living and the free will choices of those who may seek to harm you. Now, some of our suffering, as I said, is cause and effect. You may have no one to blame but yourself. But some of your suffering is also random. It's arbitrary, the result of the sins of others. So you might be asking, what am I going to take away from this upbeat sermon? Well, the story of Job has at least three lessons for us. The first is this: there's nothing new under the sun. People have been struggling with the same questions since the dawn of the human family. Where is God in my suffering? Does God care? Am I being punished by God? Is there a God at all? If you have asked those questions ever in your life, you need to know that you're in good company. You can shake your fist towards heaven, knowing that God can handle your anger. Secondly, we learn that there are mysteries in this world that we are never going to understand. We are creatures, and the movement or lack of movement by Almighty God does not always make sense to us. Maybe this illustration will help us understand this. Think of it this way. Your dog has no idea why you do the things you do. Your dog is thinking in your dog's mind, why do you leave me each morning to go to work when you could stay and play with me? Why do you get up when we are cuddling on the couch and you're stroking my back? You get up to answer that phone when you know it's going to be a telemarketer. You see, dogs and cats don't understand the movements of the master. Children do not understand the actions of their parents, and we will never understand the mysteries of God and creation. The third lesson is this: if you have a friend or a family member who is suffering, suffer with them. Sit with them in their misery. Hold their hand and listen to them. Just be present with them. Do not offer explanations as if you understand all mysteries. Do not judge them or their behavior. Do not pretend to know the depth of their despair. It is called the ministry of presence. Just being present with them. The only words they need to hear from you is, I am with you and I love you. And I suppose there's maybe one other takeaway from this text, and that would be this: being good, being careful, being faithful, eating right and exercising, keeping the Ten Commandments, those are all good. But they only increase the odds of good health and happiness. There are no guarantees, no insurance will protect you, and God cannot protect you either. Critters, let's think about the critters for a minute. Does God care about the critters? Yes, but will God keep us from driving them all to the brink of extinction? No. History is clear on that. And global warming, what about global warming? Does God care? Yes. Does the earth care? No. This planet has encountered much worse than anything we can throw at it, and the planet will go on with or without us. With or without us, that's right. God will not protect us from our own destructive ways. And among the critters who may one day be extinct, perhaps a picture of us should be there too, because the human race could be extinct as well. Now, I understand that most of this is totally out of your control, but not everything is out of your control. In fact, you will change the world for better or for worse. Your existence will make a difference. So be a good friend. Let's be kind to the critters. Let's do your part, whatever that may be, to take care of the environment that God has entrusted to us. Be slow to judge others and quick to offer words of forgiveness. And be kind. Your kindness can change the world. And like Job, keep yourself in the path of the gospel. Keep saying your prayers and looking to God. Now, saying those prayers, it's not an insurance policy, but it's your best chance at living the kind of life that God desires for you. It's your best chance at abundant life. Now, at first glance, the sermon might not seem like good news, but the truth is good news. The truth is of God. You are not being punished for sinful living. You're just living, and that living is dangerous. And living is a beautiful gift entrusted to us. So every morning, do it. Get up. Work for good. You don't have to understand everything. Just love as Jesus loved us.